What is this with this Cummings? Who is he and what did he do?
And welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 450. I'm Adam, and close the door, would you? And he's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
You better be careful. You're beginning to annoy me.
Mary Lang.
I quite miss that brown liquid they drink here.
Oh, I had some of that this evening. And Debbie Melrose.
Doctor!
Oh, God, yeah, that was terrible. Oh.
I was considering using that one.
Good on you, yeah.
There was a word, Doctor! It's like a competition. How long could she say, for?
Well, the idea was that it would blend into the closing credits.
The sting. But the she sting. Didn't quite get the right level. Didn't
and it sort of does.
I watched that as a proper first episode. And yeah, it keeps going and going and going before the credits comes on. It's really funny.
Anyway, before we start The Awakening, Terry Marr says, good evening, Adam. Good evening, Terry. Right then, so let's get on with it then.
Evening, Terry.
Pardon?
Said evening, Terry.
We got a theme music. A split second of the theme music. Because I was just listening to potential quotes. There was one in which... I think the Doctor says something on the lines of what's going on or something like that. Anyway,
throughout the whole episode, isn't it? What's happening?
Scene opens up with Polly James just wandering around.
I haven't started the video yet.
So? Don't need to. I'm talking about it now. Lillian Robbins says hi. So she's just mooching around what looks like a farm. There's a fly buzzing around this room. It's going to have to die at some point when I can get my... hands around it. So she's mooching around the farmyard, and then a load of men on horses arrive. Initially, you think maybe this could be a scene from, you know, times gone by, but these people are just getting a bit overexcited about a war game, which is also the title of a Doctor Who story. What?
Master?
What?
It reminds me of, when I was in college, I was in the Society for Creative Anachronism, where we ran around in medieval garb all the time.
Ian Kirk says, I am home. Ian's home, everybody.
Hi, Ian!
So that's good news. Ian's home. Oh, okay. Well, I'm the only one excited about that, Ian. Fantastic news. All right, then. Polly James is just trying to sort of... put all these grown men to shame and sort of telling them off in a sort of way in which to say you need to grow up, you lot. But they're not interested. They want to have some rather pathetic fun.
Well, it's fun to play around with.
Yeah, it's fun to cosplay, but what they were doing was a little bit over the top.
Yes.
Yes. Meanwhile, back in the TARDIS, Turlo has learned enough about the TARDIS console to get underneath and press a few buttons.
He's a clever old stick, isn't he?
He is. He still hasn't changed his clothes, though, Debbie. It's really revolting. Maybe he's just trying to sort of follow the Doctor's lead.
Goes to bed and washes them overnight, and the TARDIS puts them out for him when he's ready.
Yeah, the Doctor's changed his jumper.
Or has, you know, a room that you can go into, and it'll, you know, clean your clothes while you're wearing them.
Yeah.
We've never seen this. At least on Star Trek, they say that there's some sort of machine that cleans the clothes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they do. Star Trek Next Generation, at least.
And it blows all the chemicals on you and your clothes come out.
Beams all the dirt out of the shirts, essentially.
So, Master.
Oh, for God's
sake,
yes.
So, Tegan has never had a purse other than when she first wandered into the TARDIS, and here she is. In the control room with the purse, so she conveniently has it so that the one-eyed guy can steal it.
Yeah, but women shop. I'm sure the Doctor's dropped off at Primark somewhere along the line and got her a purse. I mean, goodness sake.
Well, she could bring her stewardess purse around.
Yeah, there's also an extensive wardrobe in the TARDIS. Laurie Nick says, hello all. Anyway,
hello.
Hi.
The Doctor presses a few buttons and the TARDIS console room shakes, and then the column rises and falls, and they land, and they get sort of, this is a bit weird, to go out and have a look around. The idea is, of course, they want to take Tegan to see her grandfather.
Master.
What?
Master.
Yes.
This is the third of Tegan's relatives that we get to meet.
Well, I guess that Aunt Vanessa is the sister of her grandfather.
Yeah, I guess so.
And, of course, we've also met her cousin in Amsterdam.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, her grandfather is pretty young to be her grandfather, because Tegan herself is supposed to be, what, late 20s? And the actor at the time that this was, the actor playing her grandfather at the time was 60.
Well, surely that's... Get me math, as the Americans say. Let's get me math right.
60, well, couldn't Vanessa have been her mother's 20, sister?
Possibly. True. Either way, okay. It's possible. Okay, I think Tegan's supposed to be in her early 20s. To be fair, the actress might have been in her late 20s, but I think Tegan herself is supposed to be early 20s. Bearing in mind this stewardess job was almost like they were implying it was her first job.
Yes.
Essentially. Anyway, so there's lots of little discussions going on between Polly James and the bloke from, was it Image of the Fendal?
Yes, he was Fendelman.
Yeah, Fendelman.
And the other guy was from...
Hand of Fear.
Hand of Fear, yeah.
I do know these things, Kirby. I have written a quiz book about Doctor Who called The Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, available at
we
all good Amazon shops and iTunes.
Many, many years ago, and I listened to it yesterday.
So I'm trying to plug my book. He won't even let me plug my book. Talks over it.
Well, I have your book.
Right. What? Right, I'm deducting points. Right, where's my point deductor machine go? Oh, I'll get it later.
I get a point deducted for buying your book?
No, you get a point deducted for talking over when I was trying to do a plug of it.
Plug it. I'm plugging it for you.
I'll be plugging it post-haste. Anyway, Laurie Nick says, hey, sometimes a woman needs to carry a tiny purse, okay? Yeah, but doesn't a purse in the US have different meaning to a purse in... It does. Yes, a purse in Britain is a thing where you keep your money. A purse in America is a great big bag, is it not?
Well, the size doesn't matter.
That's what she said. Fantastic. Anyway, right, so...
Call the thing that carries our money a change purse.
Oh, well, there you go. Learn a new thing every day.
And a wallet.
Yes. So anyway, they're in this crypt, and the Doctor finds a carving of something weird, and they make a point of him sort of pushing his fingers over it and admiring it. And then some steam starts coming out of one of the walls as they leave and have a look around. They bump into some of the Scottish bloke. I don't know if he's Scottish in this story, but he was Scottish in other things he's been in, this actor.
Hear anything Scottish?
No, but he was Scottish. I can't remember he was in a drama that was a Scottish drama up in the Highlands, and I can't remember what it was called. No, so watch it. It used to be an afternoon soap in the 80s. Anyway, so he's a bit grumpy and he's not a very nice chap. But what happens while they're having this conversation, this really strange chap with a hood and no eye, half a face missing, is just watching.
Of all of the characters created by the Malice, he's the one that just does not make any sense.
Yeah. I wonder if there's scenes, you know, that were cut out that might have explained his presence.
I think they were. Laurie Nick says handbag. What?
It was Take the High Road, the some Scottish soap.
Oh, thank you, Debbie. Right. Useful comment. Points for useful comments. Laurie Nick says handbag. Lillian Robbins says... What? Handbag. Lillian Robbins says, absolutely, Laurie. And then Laurie Nick says, Lillian knows what I mean. Well, I don't. I don't carry a handbag. I know
she
must be
obeyed.
Would not be go anywhere outside the house without her handbag. Right, so where are we moving? There's a mysterious man with half a face. Is just watching them with his one available eye. And then, what?
Another missing scene.
Yes.
They cut out a scene where Tegan runs across Chameleon in the
corridor.
I've
seen that scene. I like that scene. They should have kept it in. It's not relevant to the story.
Chameleon uses both Turlough's and the Doctor's voices.
Yes, but I say that's not relevant to the story, but I enjoyed the scene. I think they should have kept it in. What do you think, Kirby?
Yes, they should have.
Good, you got your, deducted point back. Well played.
Thank you. I wish they had straightened his head because he's leaning his head over.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. So
well, yeah, maybe he's still broken. That's why he can't be a part of the story.
Yeah, but at least there's something of him to show that he's there, because obviously got a lead into Planet of Fire. So I think they really should have left it in just to, you know, keep the continuity going.
He's there, yeah. Just hello.
So the Doctor, Tegan, Turlough are now in the, I can't remember the name of the bloke who tried to look like Charles I, his sort of office, and Tegan, who...
This isn't Sir George's office. This is the nice guy's
Okay, his office then. Anyway, what I'm saying is Tegan gets upset because they imply that her grandfather's either, you know, their enemy or he's gone missing or, you know, there's all sorts of shenanigans going on there. And she runs off in a huff. And like you said, Kirby, she whacks a red handbag on her face just so as...
just available.
Yeah, so it's available to be snatched. So she can go into this sort of barn. But I mean, at this stage, Sir, what's his name? He's not too bad, is he? Just a bit nuts, but he doesn't go evil because he's not quite been completely taken over by the malice. He's quite bearable.
This is the same barn that Polly James ran into earlier.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, while Tegan's in this barn, some very poor sort of special effects that basically white dots start appearing in the screen. Why they thought this actually looked quite good, I do not know. And then the It's Man appears. He's not running now, obviously, but it does look like the same bloke out of Snake Dance.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And I know I saw the actor's name somewhere, but I don't know what.
Wow, I never thought I'd hear those words coming out of your lips. I don't know.
I don't know. Yes.
I know the Doctor says
I can
lot.
Find out.
I'd rather you didn't. So, yeah, I didn't quite work out what this chap was anyway, but he's in there and the Tegans gets a bit freaked out by seeing him. Meanwhile, the Doctor in his new costume, well, his new jumper, starts sort of...
Well, his shirt is new, too.
Oh, is it new as well?
It's got the red and green details around the collar there.
I didn't know that was new as well. Anyway, so he's just...
It's all because he ruined it while swimming in the...
Yes, we said this last week. Yeah, so he's just poking around the village, and then he goes into the crypt area, and a very loud noise appears, and then the wall sort of opens, and in comes a 30-year-old man trying to pretend to be a boy.
No, he's in his mid-20s.
He's still pretending to be a boy.
Yes.
Because obviously there weren't any child actors available.
Keith Jayne, I believe, was 23 or 24.
Oh, now you're changing it. It's coming down any further. Do you want to bring it down into the boys' sort of group age? Age group, or whatever you call it? No? Okay. Yeah, so they didn't have any child actors available for this scene. Anyway, he's a bit weird. He's really over the top when he talks his mouth sort of like this and stuff. This fly is going to get into trouble. There's a fly buzzing around it. It's really irritating me.
Well, Master.
Yes.
In the script, the actual shooting script, according to the info text, they wrote his dialogue out phonetically so he would say it that way.
Okay. Right, so I'll just move forward a little bit. Yeah, so there's a bit of a. Oh, yeah, there's a... I don't know, there's a conversation. I quite like that. There's a scene where Turlough, Teague and the Doctor just sort of sat in the church crypt area, just sort of a bit bored, trying to suss out what's going on, and Doctor does a little... makes his mind up by having something in one hand and not in the other. Yeah. But he must have known...
which was weird.
He must have known which hand it was in.
Yeah!
So that implies he fixed the result of that particular decision. And then missing scene, deleted scene of Turlough and Tegan finding the TARDIS door open. We don't see that in the actual episode. They just walk into the TARDIS, and then the poor special effects appear in the corner, these sort of weird square lights, I suppose you'd call them.
Yeah. Well, no, like
80s disco.
They're asterisks, not squares.
Are they asterisks? Yes. So they are. Never noticed that before. Anyway, they appear in the corner. And Will, who's the 28-year-old boy, demonstrates being a little bit scared. No, he reminded me of Lamal out of a group from the 80s called Kajagoogoo. Very famous.
Isn't Lamal the one that sang Never Ending Story? Yes,
I was just about to say that. Right, stole my thunder there. Point deducted for Debbie. I haven't got my deduction machine. I'll just have to remember this.
Well, that's I'm back points. Down to zero then.
Yeah, I love the movie, love the song.
Anyway,
it scarred me for life, the movie, but...
Yeah. I've only seen it once, but I reckon they should remake it.
Isla won't watch it again. I have to fast forward the art tax bit.
But, it's become iconic now because of Stranger Things, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to watch all the Stranger Things.
One of these days I need to watch Stranger Things.
All the time at work. When I go back to work, that'll be one of the first things on the jukebox.
What, the Stranger Things version?
Yes.
Well, I just signed up for HBO Max, so when that starts on Wednesday, I'll be able to watch a lot of new stuff and also all of Modern Who again.
Yeah, that's on BritBox, but you have to pay £5.99 a month for it. But the stuff that's on it might be worth doing it. If I actually had some money, I'd be tempted to get that.
Not New Who.
Yeah, New Who's not on BritBox.
Old Who. Pretty sure Old Who is on BritBox.
Classic. And New Who's on the iPlayer. Yeah, Old Who's on BritBox, but I don't need Old Who. I have Old Who.
It's handy to, but not have to keep on searching through my box of DVDs to find these things. It'd be handy just to be able to go straight on and access the story I want to watch without faffing around.
I was doing that.
And I actually couldn't find these ones.
For God's sake.
I couldn't find this particular story, and then I found it. I hadn't removed it from the box. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Anyway, Will gets a bit scared again. And the Doctor, who's found a carving on this sort of, I suppose you'd call it a tomb, wouldn't you? Which looks a bit malicey. Anyway, he touches it and it opens a little sort of secret passageway, which a priest hole is what I think they call them, isn't it?
What if people had just stood on it?
Point reinstated for comedy reasons. Nice one. The Turlo and Tegan sort of. Tegan literally runs into, even though it must have been easier to run away from him, one of the guards.
That one made me laugh.
One part of the story when Turlo's banged up. He goes, guards, yes?
Yeah, are you talking about where she's running through the water?
Yeah, she runs through the ford. It's called a ford, Kirby. Yeah. Are you going to tell me that, were you?
Well, I was going to say, if you watch the scene just before that, when... Tegan and Turlo are running.
Yeah.
And then they run through the village. And the scene changes, and they're right in front of the ford, and Turlo runs one way, and Tegan runs into the ford.
Yeah.
But the scene just before that, it's a bright blue sky, and when they when they go to the ford, it's a cloudy sky. There's a completely different towns.
Okay, well, there you go. Anyway, she gets caught, and they decide that she's going to be Queen of the May. Little does she know, I think in their version of the Queen of the May, she's going to get burnt to death.
You're about 45 miles from those towns.
It goes very quick and doesn't it? Yeah.
So,
You're about 25 miles from those towns, but you have to cross the Solent.
So, meanwhile, Polly James joins the Doctor and Will and becomes a little temporary companion. And Tegan, I think, is told to wear another weird costume, a bit like Enlightenment. Remember, she was told to wear a weird costume. At least she didn't have to wear a weird wig while wearing this one. And then the Doctor, who's sort
Master.
Of...
Master.
Oh, for God's sake.
This particular war game battle is supposed to be taking place in July, so why is she the Queen of the May?
Because
May's in June. Be quiet.
It's just what they want to call her.
It's like Leeds Castle. Is that in Leeds?
No.
Is Birmingham in Britain or in Alabama? Oh, it's in both, isn't it? Oh, it's Birmingham in Alabama. Oh, shut up! Anyway, so the Doctor is meanwhile, again, there's another scene in which they're just standing around the crypt area sort of trying to work things out. And there's
posted where the towns were.
What's that noise?
No,
I don't got a vibration.
It's my neighbor running his.
I see. It sounds like dramatic music. I thought you just. It was the tension was supposed to be sort of building up for something Kirby was going to say for a change. Anyway, so back in the crypt, the Doctor is trying to mull over what's going on again, and then some steam starts coming out of the wall. And he pokes his arm through and opens it up, and there's a very sort of spooky face and eyes in there and steam coming out, and he leans into it, and Polly James goes, "Doctor!" And that she doesn't quite hold her, the note long enough, as long as Bill Withers does in Lovely Day. But she has a really good go at it. I've lost my elder one now, thanks to Kirby. I'm going to have to retrieve
Master,
that at some point. What?
Take a look at the end credits.
Why? I've just closed
the because
thing down.
This is the very, this is the only story where the credits are in this particular style with the purple letters with the white outline.
Yeah, I noticed that. I thought that was a fault on the video.
Nope. They, for some reason, they were just playing around, I guess, and decided to do just this one story this way.
Wow. I thought that was just a fault. Anyway, Terry Miles says tea-making.
Also, Master.
Oh, for God's sake.
This was Barry Newberry's final story as designer, and he'd been with the show since 1963.
Marvelous. Oh, sorry. Yes.
Sometimes you hear the first style of police box was the Newberry box because he designed it.
Oh, sorry. Back again. All right then. There you go. Terry Mars quite rightly says tea making time. Terry.
Well, I've had mine.
Episode 2.
I just had a glass of buttermilk.
It's like being Harry Potter. Oh, that's butter beer, isn't it? Yeah, so the Doctor's all right. Obviously, because it would be the end of the show, wouldn't it? Or he just will just regenerate.
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, why did he stand there?
He's a doctor. He does silly things like that. So, while they're sort of recovering and sort of musing over this instance where the Doctor, you know, goes in where the malice was, the strange one-eyed bloke appears with some bad special effects and then disappears. And then, rather spookily, where he was standing, a ghostly sort of figure of Sir Doodah appears.
No.
No.
It's just another cavalier. It's not
it
Sir
looks
George.
Like, it looks like Sir George, doesn't it, Debbie?
No, it's not Sir George.
I didn't think it was Sir George. Sorry, Adam.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I've always thought, since the episode went out... Since the episode went out, I've always thought he was a spitting image of Sir George.
He's not. Look
well,
at
I thought he was. That's the first time I've ever thought it was. I've been told it wasn't. So that's after all this time, I've been sort of operating under a misapprehension. So Turlough gets caught by one of the round head pretenders, cosplayers. Turlough's really funny in this episode again.
So why are the roundheads hanging out with the cavaliers?
It's a reenactment.
Yes, it doesn't matter. Thank you, Debbie. For goodness sake, that deserves a ding. For goodness.
Hey, I learned a lot about this.
Because it's subliminal pretendings and not actually real roundheads or whatever the other people are supposed to be. Oh, dearie me.
Cavaliers.
Oh, yeah, now you come
I learned a lot about your Civil War.
Did you?
Not about wars and not much about our own. That was very odd at school.
Yeah. Anyway, now you come to mention it. Now I've actually looked at paused the screen and this cavalier ghostly character. Yeah, it doesn't look anything like him. But I've still, after all that time, thought it was. How weird. Hang on. Now it's not moving. Oh, all right, here we go. So, yeah, so he starts waving his sword because the Doctor says it's only like an apparition, it's not going to do anything. And then he waves his sword about, oh, yes, he plans to kill us. So Turlough is thrown into this barn where there's Tegan's granddad, only hired for one episode.
yes.
And...
Well, but if the Doctor keeps calling these things psychic projections, they should be harmless, and yet they run away from them like they're going to, do something terrible to them.
He was a little bit ambiguous about them at one point because they were like, well, they can't hurt us then. Well, maybe they can.
Yeah, but there have been psychic projections in Doctor Who that have been able to hurt things and punch things.
And these actually kill that one. Yeah. Guy at the very end of the episode.
Yes, they do, so
yeah, but we don't see it.
I think it's better, though.
Terry Miles says he looks like the Laughing Cavalier. He does. Anyways, and then there's a scene of Will running through a long field of grass. That's a very nice shot. Then he falls over. You know that scene where he falls over? I was thinking of TikToking that and putting over the sound from Fawlty Towers when Fawlty runs behind the desk in the Builders episode and trips over the gnome.
Yeah.
That went right over the Americans' heads. So, Glyn Thingamajig, who plays the goody bloke, he keeps on telling Tegan not to worry. You know, it's not real. They'll sort of come around. Once the game's over, they'll come round. And there's a lovely scene. Obviously, what after Turlough's got to know Grandad, he just says, "Oh, are there any guards here?" And it just cracks me up. And he goes, "Guards, guards!" Out through the door. Always last that makes me laugh in these programs when the guards don't have names, they're just called guards. And it even happens in Blackadder 2, when the last episode, when Blackadder and Melcher are imprisoned by Hugh Laurie. And I think there's a point in which Blackadder goes, "Guards!" Like that. All right, that's just me, isn't it? Everybody's been quiet.
Yeah.
It is.
We're just letting you go on and
on. Lillian, well, it's a shame you didn't let me go on earlier on in the episode.
Is that Blackadder 4, where he's in the cell?
It might have been, but there's an also in Blackadder 2 when he's in the cell with Melcher.
Oh, yeah.
And when they eventually gets imprisoned in this sort of box so he can do the joke.
That bit, yeah.
You are a fornicating baboon. I can't really do it in this box. Lillian Robbins says, what's GV's fluid? Oh, J's fluid it is. It's J's fluid that Turlough's sitting on. It's a thing that we're quite useful now. It's a disinfectant.
It is.
It's an old-fashioned disinfectant. Yeah.
But a certain smell, that stuff, as well.
Yeah, Deb uses it occasionally to get rid of the smell of dog urine for when Magic decides he can't be bothered to walk up to the steps into the garden, so he does it straight outside the back door, and then, of course, the smell and the flies waft into the house. So J's fluid... What?
Go ahead.
Oh, what are you saying? So that's what Jay...
That brings up a question, though. Why do they use their shoulders on the door instead of using this big can of stuff to break the door down?
I'm not the director of the show. I presume that question is rhetorical.
I guess.
So, meanwhile, the Doctor goes back to see Tegan in her plight, but by this stage Sir George is starting to go a bit loopy. And he's actually tells Glyn, what's his name, to shoot the Doctor. Of course he doesn't do it, but they are slightly distracted by some bad special effects and the Malice appearing in the corner of the room rather spookily. And so anyway, they oh, there's a funny scene, is it, about them barging their shoulders, because obviously Grandad has hurt his shoulder by trying to use himself as a battering ram. But did you say they used the tin of J's fluid first?
No, they should have.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, it might have been empty. I mean, the way Turlough flips it over.
Yeah, true. But still, it would have been better than using their shoulders.
Anyway, the Doctor catches up with Will, and then he spots them setting up the maypole, while the Malice is starting to blow smoke out of its nostrils and start to poke more of him through the wall and becoming a little bit stronger.
Tegan, I know that the Malice was purchased by a fan, but I've also seen pictures where it was in an exhibition. So
yeah,
have you seen it in an exhibition?
I'm pretty sure I've seen it in an exhibition. I haven't found the pictures yet, to be fair. I did find the pictures from when Alicia and I went to the Doctor Who experience when it was in London, but they're not as good as the pictures I took when it was in Cardiff. Can I go back to this particular story? There's a point.
Yes.
There's a point in which a float is carried through by a white horse. Is that supposed to be Tegan on it, or is it a dummy? Cause I thought Tegan.
Well, at first it's Tegan, and then they replaced Tegan with the dummy.
Yeah, because I thought she'd run off. So plan to put a foot for the. Basically the murdering of the May Queen. The Malice gets stronger and stronger. Turlough and Grandad manage to get out of the barn, and then we come to that scene that ended up being one of the most famous outtakes in Doctor Who.
Yes.
When the horse arrives at the lynch gate, and they all jump off it. The Doctor and Will go through the lynch gate, and then in the outtake, the horse and cart follow through. It's not a real lynch gate, so it's a prop lynch gate, no. So don't be worried. Not a lot of things were ruined, and no animals, indeed, were harmed during that particular scene.
Yeah, I remember when we reviewed this one before, I didn't have the DVD. I was working off a VHS copy, and didn't have access to seeing that outtake or anything. I'm going, what are you guys talking about?
So you've seen it now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was originally on Noel's House Party. Because Noel's House Party.
Yes, that's on the DVD.
Anyway, so Tegan has got out of her garb and is now wearing her smelly old multicoloured top. They go into the TARDIS console room, and one of my favourite scenes, even though it's got the crappy dotty special effects around it, I do love the Malice sort of clinging to the it's clinging, I don't know, clinging to the TARDIS wall.
It's properly creepy.
I also love the fact that it's the same colour as the wall, so it really does look effective for me. I just don't like the dots. I think they look silly and rubbish. I don't think they really needed them.
Well, they were trying to be super modern.
Yeah, but I don't think it needed that. I think the fact that it was just there would have been enough. Or even if they did a sort of like a fader, so it was half.
Rather than the little dots.
Materialized. Yeah. Sorry. Asterisks.
Just agreeing with you.
Oh, sorry. Not getting any points for it.
Yes, we're all agreeing with you, Master.
I should hope so too. Anyway, so the Doctor presses a few buttons, and the it starts vomiting basically. While Turlough and the Grandad arrive in the. In the crypt.
It's like he switched off the link and it starts vomiting green stuff out of its eyes and mouth.
Yeah, it wasn't intended to vomit out of its eyes. But
I will say it's a really good design. It's one of the best monster designs, you know, of the classic era for me. I always thought it was really, really, really cool. So they go out into the crypt, and then a few ghostly characters, apparently generated by the Malice, trying to fight back, appear, and some swords are drawn. Some chap runs in, one of the, you know, the people who's pretending to do the war.
Are these roundheads rather than cavaliers?
No idea. But anyway, they all get together. The chap decides to run into the middle of them, and he gets his head severed by about five or six swords, much to the horror of the people watching. Not me personally, just Tegan and Polly James and stuff. And just moving forward a little bit. Yeah, the Doctor's trying to talk Sir George out of being a complete maniac. And
Malice wakes up the other guy, doesn't it?
Yeah, Malice wakes up the other guy. The Doctor seems to think the church is going to blow up, so they leg it into the TARDIS.
Well, after Will kills Sir George.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not very nice of him, was it? Anyway, so the church does blow up.
I like the bit where what's-her-name learns to open and close the...
I know, it's much to the annoyance of the Doctor. That's from my quote, Kirby.
Yes.
Yeah. But the blowing up of the church is reminiscent of a story we did a few years ago called The Daemons.
Daemons, yeah. Mm. It's a good church blow-up, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in fact it looks a little bit better than the
yeah.
Yeah. It's a really nice model.
Anyway, the Doctor wants to shoot off quickly, but Tegan reminds him that they actually came to visit her granddad, so could she spend some time with her granddad, please? So he begrudgingly allows it, even though they've had to go through this whole malarkey, and which if they had gone away would have been for nothing. So Tegan for once gets her wish. And she's able to see Grandad.
If they had not visited, would the Malice have destroyed the Earth?
Yes. but the TARDIS knew that. That's why the TARDIS took him there to that point.
Exactly.
The TARDIS takes him where he needs to be, yeah.
In replying to Lillian, Ian Kirk says, Jay's fluid, that is a brand of disinfectant. Do not drink the stuff. Do not drink the stuff, no matter what you've heard. Well, Jay's fluid is a bit stronger than Dettol, I can tell you that. It's very, very strong. I think generally you're supposed to water it down a bit more than Dettol is, but anyway. Right, hang on, I'm just telling my computer to remind me about the updates tomorrow, because obviously it keeps on asking for updates. Notice it asks for updates, gives me the option to say no, unlike Windows 10, which just does it. Moving on, right then, the Awakening. I really like The Awakening. It's like all these Doctor Who stories have got little things you can pick holes in, to be fair. It's a little romp. Two parts is obviously the perfect length. It's much better, obviously, King's Demons for me. But it's two parts is definitely the right length for it. I think they could have maybe sort of... actually, in some ways, they could have made it a 35-minute one-parter, to be fair. But it's really... It's just
a
fun little.
Knock off the 4 minutes. Yeah,
so it's just a fun little romp. Some pointless characters in there, to be fair, but it's a lovely location for the filming. It's got a chance for the BBC costume department to have some fun as well. And it's just a bit of fun. I mean, yes, some of the ideas are a bit silly. The Malice itself is very iconic for me. I think it's really, really good. Yeah, I quite enjoy it. I know I'll probably be wrong to do so, but yeah, it was quite good for me. So, Kirby, is this the first time you've seen it?
No, I was back when we did this the
I
first
know,
time
you said
many
it a few moments
years
ago.
Ago.
I just was trying to wind you up.
I've always liked this one. It's fun.
Is that it? Oh, cool. That was quick for you. Blimey neck.
Yes.
Debbie, have you seen this one before?
Yes, originally. I can remember snatches of it.
Yes, and, originally.
I remember the Malice being... It is iconic. I can remember it. I can remember it coming through the wall. And I can remember the eyes. And I can remember because about the time, you know, these special effects were brilliant. Oh, yeah, and it's like it was scary back then.
I didn't think that the asterisks at the time were brilliant. I did think the Malice itself was brilliant.
I love that. The actual use of something actually there. That's what I like. I like it when it's puppetry rather than CGI. And I will always rate puppetry and set design over CGI, regardless how good it's getting. Mm. And... I'm just going to use the word fun that you used and you both used, because it felt fun. It was light. It was sunny for the most parts, obviously, apart from the bits that Kirby pointed out. Mm. And it was just a fun Doctor Who romp, a little adventure. We're going to go and see Tegan's granddad. Oh, whoops, we've fallen into trouble, you know. And it was just a classic example of enjoyable Who with a nice little bit of history again. I've always got a soft spot for the historicals. And, I just thought it was so funny watching some of them try and control their horses. Some of them didn't know what to do with their weaponry. And it was just like everybody just banded together for a long bank holiday weekend, which is what we're in now, going, let's do Doctor Who here. Yeah, all right then. You know, and it felt like that. And it just felt like fun. And after, like... we know what's coming. We've gone through a lot, and it was just for a filler story, which obviously it was. I just felt it was a really high quality filler story, and I really enjoyed it. Just to sit there and watch it was just really good fun, Doctor Who. And the music was quite invasive, but I really quite enjoyed.
Good point. Didn't notice it, so I was okay with that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I don't really have anything bad to say about it. We've already punched holes.
I must admit, I did like. I think Turner and Tegan had about the same amount to do in it. I think it was okay. They weren't useless characters in it.
There was a lot of cast, but for a change, we tended to stay with the Doctor through most of it, which is brilliant. I love that when we do that.
Hang on, Kirby's. This could be a moment for history for the show that Kirby might say something useful. Right, prepare yourselves, everyone. I think we need to play this.
If you were driving from Cowes to Chaffinch,
are you going to tell us how easy it is to get there?
No, it's 50 miles. I was mistaken. I thought it was about 30 miles.
Was that it?
Yes.
Lillian Robbins says, I like this story too. Well, everybody, let's see what Mary says.
Oh, I was so bored by this. it kind of gallops along without really explaining much of anything.
like when he finds that tin clavic stuff, well, that lady with him, she doesn't say, oh, what is it? She says, where did it come from? Like she already knows what it is, but we don't know what it is. Even with him saying, you know, oh, it comes from this other, you know, planet or galaxy or whatever, he doesn't explain its usefulness or, you know, whether it's dangerous or anything. We don't. And then it's dropped. It's never mentioned again. Like that guy, the one-eyed guy showing up, you know, it's never explained. Who is he and why is he showing up? With the psychic projections, you don't know whether they're dangerous or not. I assume psychic projections are not. So I wondered why they were running away from the one, that Chevalier guy with the big sword. And then that scene when they behead that one guy, I mean, a few scenes later, he gets up. He's not hurt. He's all better. I'm not dead yet. Are they dangerous or aren't they dangerous?
He doesn't get up. What do you mean?
Yes, he does. He gets up later.
Hang on. Can you keep this going? So can you keep that going, Kirby, for a bit?
No, there's two different people.
There we go.
It looks like the same guy getting up.
There's two different people.
I disagree.
Sorry, just stop. I can't remember.
Well, and then that big malice face that shows up in the church, you know, you can tell it's being pushed forward. I mean, is that the malice? Or is the thing that shows up in the TARDIS, is that the real malice? Oh, they never say.
The malice keeps projecting.
What's a projection and what's a real thing? If the malice exists there. And something that I was reading said that this was originally a four-part story.
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah, written two years. By somebody else. And it had Nyssa and Matthew Waterhouse in it.
Yeah.
But not Turlough. So then it's gone through several rewrites until they got it to this point where they also, you know, scaled it down to just these two episodes.
I couldn't have handled it as a four story.
Well, I mean, we think of it as this one story may be stretched out, but apparently there was a lot more going on. And I would have liked a few more things explained as to their importance or their reality or whatever. No, this is not one of my favorites. You know, the Fifth Doctor has existed for me as one of my favorite doctors for the longest time, but watching his era, other than a few, and I mean few, count them on one hand, stories, most of the stuff with him is so, I don't know, boring or not very well done. I think I have a better feeling for him because of the Big Finish stories I listen to, in which I like him a whole lot better.
Well, people say the same of the Seventh and Sixth Doctors because of this.
The Sixth Doctor, too. I like him so much better in Big Finish, but that's another story. And I was going to comment on the one thing I really did enjoy was watching the church fall apart, because I think they did a really good job with that. But other than that, no, I'd pass on this one.
Never mind. I mean, I totally get there was a lot of stuff that was not adequately explained, other than that it was an astral, a projection. If it had been four, no, would not have enjoyed it.
No.
Master?
Yes?
Okay, if I may point out that there were two people who went down and started trying to get into the TARDIS.
Yeah.
That were knocked out by Turlough and the granddad.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then one of them, who doesn't have a name, wakes up, goes upstairs, and he's beheaded. And then the other one comes up, is awakened by the malice, comes up, and he lives.
If you want our listeners to have a tea break, Kirby, could you do a pre-warning? Yes. then they can get their tea break and come back.
Like the same guy that got up.
Go back and watch it. You can see it's different people.
Look at how those people who've never been in a TARDIS before walk in. They look around a little bit, but then nobody remarks on, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Apparently that was in a...
I suppose, yeah. All cat, isn't it?
Had them going, ooh, wow. But it was cut for time.
Hence the reduction to two-parters. Anyway, Bonnie Francis Himmelblau says, I'm a big Turlough fan. Oh, I think that's worth a round of applause. He's not doing so much twitching these days, has to be said, although we haven't got the frontiers yet.
She's been asking how to watch and get in touch with us and to join us for since yesterday. So, yay! Oh,
sorry, I haven't been paying much attention
like
to that.
I
do get a bit busy. Sorry, Mary.
I don't see anything about him that's likable.
Dear.
Something else I'd like to point out is that before we started the journey,
yeah,
I'd only seen maybe 3 or 4 Fifth Doctor stories.
Yes.
And I liked him, but now we're going through in order.
Yeah.
I've become a real Fifth Doctor fan.
Right, so there we go. A point back for Kirby. Well done. But I have a funny feeling he was playing for that.
No.
Okay, right then. So now we're going to be looking into Kirby's request. I should have a special jingle for this. Kirby's request for feedback. I feel as if there should be as a big echoey sort of backdrop sound.
Well, maybe we should use the Apollo 440s thing for Lost in Space.
Talk about Lost in Space. You actually reminded me, Debbie. Before
the old share thing that back when I had a bad internet.
All right. Before you go into your telling of that, I just wanted to point out something I watched on Prime a couple of days ago. Super Marionation is a film about Gerry Anderson and puppets and stuff. It was really, really interesting, thoroughly charming and informative and wonderful. So if you get a chance to watch that, it's called Super Marionation. Tells a complete story of Gerry Anderson puppets and Thunderbirds.
Oh, I'd like
to
see that. I wonder
that
if it's
stuff.
On our Prime.
It does stop when the puppets come to an end.
The stuff you get on your Prime and the stuff you get on your Netflix is often different than what we get.
You have to bear in mind, Kirby, that some of our listeners are indeed British and will have the facility to watch certain things on Prime. Okay. Right then, so go on then. Let's have a look at what people have written in to the feedback that you asked for.
Well, the very first person to respond within seconds of my putting up the request was Jeff Waddle, who said, "The Awakening, in an ironic twist, guaranteed to put you to sleep."
Oh, God.
I'm picking on that one, Jeff.
And Rob Lansdowne said, "Bloody good film. Rebecca Hall is great."
Oh, jeez.
Robert Haynes said, "Yeah, I did enjoy that one, too." Ian Kirk posted a picture of Thomas the Tank Engine and his evil twin, Malice.
Actually, doesn't Thomas the Tank Engine appear in America? Oh, was it Shazam? Or it appears in an American film, a giant one. Oh, it was Ant-Man, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Ant-Man.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. That made me laugh out loud when the giant Thomas the Tank. Anyway, carry on. Sorry, we won't talk about Ian Kirk's feedback.
I'm skipping Ian.
Yes.
Robert Wentz Jr. in my review. In this story, we meet Tegan's grandfather. We meet her aunt in Tom Baker's last story. Location shooting was the best part of the episode. The whole thing had been done before Star Trek in the original series episode Day of the Dove, I believe, where a space entity was controlling the Enterprise crew. Better than last episode, but that's not saying much. The entity takes control of the war games, rating 2 out of 5.
Ooh.
And I respond, and there's no war chief or warlord anywhere around these war games, and where's the second doctor?
And you waited for somebody to laugh, and somebody did, but I think it was in sympathy rather than anything else. It was Robert Haynes.
Oh, it was Robert. Oh, by the way, I haven't seen it yet, even though I've got Sapphire and Steel.
Mm.
Apparently, the very first episode of Sapphire and Steel also has the same premise.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got all Sapphire and Steel. I've never watched it.
Yeah, you're drifting.
Bonnie Himmelblau says, "How and where does one view this at the right time?" I gave her general stuff. She said, "Thanks." See, I'm not going to read all my technical stuff.
Good.
Neil James says, "The Awakening. I always find Doctor Who works well in an English village, and this is no exception. I like the opening of the galloping horses. This is really nicely directed. The Malice scared me as a child. It's still a pretty creepy creation.
Yep.
The steam pouring out of the crack in the church wall is a strong image. There's some great characters in this story. I particularly like Sir George, Jane, and Will Chandler. There's some lovely scenes between the Fifth Doc, Will, and Jane. Maybe he should have ditched Tegan and Turlough and taken them with him at the end as new companions.
Mm-hmm.
The guy playing the character of Willow seemed to think he was in a very adult crime drama. He's so nasty to everyone. I enjoy it when Jane gives him a slap. They forgive him way too easily at the end. A fun and atmospheric departure that I always enjoy. 4 out of 5.
Yeah. Ian Kirk?
Ian Kirk says, there's a brief pre-credit sequence. A woman calling, Ben, where are you? I don't think Mr. Shoveler will be with us this week, though. Lori Nix, folk horror is right in my wheelhouse. Yet, sigh, well, it is certainly better than what we've seen recently. On a two-parter scale, not entirely awful. Part one is better than the jumbled resolution, and everything looks and sounds nice and atmospheric. I see they continued to lock up Turlough. Always a good idea. Wish the school teacher and the simpleton had been permanent replacement companions in a weird way. Has Tegan any more relatives to exploit? By the way, nice dress. Which one is she talking about? The Queen of the May or the color
Probably
one?
Probably the Queen of the May, but she'll tell us in a minute.
The Malice was cute when he was tiny. Lastly, who doesn't appreciate a gratuitous fake-looking beheading? And then Bonnie was asking how to watch, and Ian told her.
There we go. I tell you what, now you made me think of something. Oh yeah, Ben Shoveler. Yeah, so Ben is doing quite a few DJ sets on Facebook Live, so that's worth looking out for.
Oh yeah,
that's what
I saw
he is.
What? I saw that he was doing that.
That's his thing. You see, he's a DJ. Long before he came on the show, but
I also posted Google Maps showing where Shapik and
fantastic. Martin. I'm thought everybody's absolutely enthralled to find that
now,
piece of information.
You are maybe 25 miles as the crow flies. It's just that you've got to go over and around and everything.
Yeah.
You should
keep
go
on going running over the same ground, don't we? It's a little bit like one of Chris Chibnall's scripts.
Well, if I lived there, I'd be visiting these places all the time.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't, because you wouldn't have enough money to do that. Because you'd be.
I was going to say you'd have
written.
To have a good job.
Well, I'm trying to. Oh, I'm just looking through some history on my messaging. Oh, I've almost sent. Yeah, I'll tell you that story later. I'll tell you what, a little story about something that happened this evening was quite amusing, not necessary for Schumer to be obeyed. We just sat down for dinner, and I'd put my glass of, what's a pint glass of ice water on Isabella's table, pulled my table in, went to grab my salt and pepper, and elbowed the ice water straight in over Isabella. So I went all over her, just went, and her lap was just ice cubes. And
poor Isabella.
I got a thick verbal ear from Deb who told me off for being clumsy when, of course, she's normally her that's the clumsiest person, but unfortunately today I've been rather clumsy. I think she's blaming my evening of Morgan Spiced that I had yesterday. I haven't quite recovered from it. It's made me a bit clumsy. So I'm not allowed to drink Morgan Spiced anymore.
Recovered? How much did you have?
Well, it depends on it's relative, isn't it? It was one of those $9.99 bottles you can get from Rashleigh's, 3/4 of one of them. But it was good fun.
And yet the British are famous for drinking everything warm. So this is a revelation.
I don't drink water warm.
Where that came from, because I like cold drinks, and if they get warm, I can't stand
them. I don't like tepid water. No, it's got to be. It's nice when it's ice cold, and certainly lager. You can't have lager warm. I mean, it's got to be ice cold.
Good grief. Warm beer. Ugh.
We are rather. What I wanted was a slight deviation when I tried to find out who got the. The feedback from Alan T. Butcher last week. So I'm just doing some research off air.
I did.
Oh, that means it goes to Mary then.
Oh, no. Oh, sorry, Mary.
Makes life a lot easier. Right then, where's Mary gone? Hello, Isabella. Isabella, I'd like to come in for a second.
Oh, Isabella, how's that?
Why have you just thrown Conehead into the bloody room?
Why did she want to come in?
That's Isabella. If you'd like to come here so you're in shot. Isabella will now verify the story of the ice lap situation.
Yeah. How's your lap, Isabella?
Apparently I scratched it with
you
my fingernails
when I
scooped the lap out of scooped the ice out of her lap. Apparently I scratched it with my sharp little fingernails.
Yeah.
So that was more of an injury than it was actually scooping the ice. It was just, remember those things that was on the internet a few years ago? The was it the ice bucket challenge?
Ice
it was
bucket
an ice glass of water challenge. Me and Isabella here, this is Isabella, sometimes known as Izzy, wanted to have a laugh about it, but knew that full well we'd probably get into trouble for doing so. Because it was rather amusing. If we'd actually had somebody video in, that would have made the best TikTok ever, wouldn't it? Well, it would. She won't admit. Yes, it would. Would have made the best TikTok ever. Where's Conehead? Right, for the viewers' sake, Conehead is here. Here's Conehead! Yes, Conehead is... there she is. She's beautiful, isn't she? She. I don't know what she's doing in here. She won't want to stay in here without magic. But there you go. Right, so back to Doctor Who. Right. Kirby, you've done your bit. I should have actually done this while you were doing your bit. I was so busy listening that I actually forgot to do what I'm supposed to be doing, which is running a podcast. So let's see what's going on here. Right. Alan T. Butcher says, Davison is much better in Big Finish. He's also very good in a thing called the Five-ish Doctors reboot. And then Laurie Nick says, the period costume, of course, not the new wave 80s thing. That's an answer to the period costume that Tegan was wearing. And Lillian Robbins says, hi, Izzy, and she's gone out the room. We'll have to post-haste that particular comment. Right then, I was trying to find this. Right, let's copy that. And this is going to be very clever of me. I think I'm going to I'll be eligible for a podcasting award by what I'm doing at the moment. So we're going to get this feedback here, if I can get it to work, and then we'll play this.
Hello, Talking Enigma Podcast. This is Ian Kern.
Hello, Ian.
I'm recording this on Saturday, as I have a day off and I'm working Sunday. A man collapsed at the depot on Friday and was taken home by his wife. I expect masks to be a bit more popular next week. In a global crisis, we deliver. It is the folk at the Kablam Pantry that I feel sorry for. Those parcels are heavy. The Awakening by Eric Pringle. An oak church is haunted by the evil twin of Thomas the Tank Engine. Is that even possible?
Doctor Who is a science fiction television program.
There's a secret tunnel to the church, so the Doctor is underground again. When Turlough is a prisoner in a shed, he sits on a barrel of Jay's fluid. That is a brand of disinfectant. Do not drink the stuff, no matter what you have heard. The Doctor seems to content himself by advising the leader that feeding psychic energy to an evil space entity is a bad idea. The crew are mostly observers. The guest cast are good. I do not dislike it, as those on the 20 megabyte page, which you can join, suggest.
Nice.
This story was the first time the Doctor took a companion to see a relative.
Ah.
It turned out better than with Rose Tyler.
Yeah.
Alexa, are you an alien?
The truth is out there.
Do 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 do. Now. That.
Yeah, if you get the right skills, Alexa would do quite a lot of stuff.
Yes, master.
No, God, here we go. Yes.
Brilliant.
This story is the first time that the Doctor says something that became famous for the Sixth Doctor saying all the time.
Yes. He says I'm known as
the Doctor.
I am known as the Doctor. Yes.
and that's why I ended up posting that YouTube video where the Doctor keeps introducing himself.
Splendid. Right then, Terry Miles says, hi, 20 megabiters. This episode was supposed to be a four-parter, but they cut it down to two parts. This, in my books, was the wrong decision. It should have been a three-part. Part one was great. The costume department did themselves proud. The sets were iffy. The masonry in the crypt moved about as if it were made of polystyrene.
Funny,
that was.
The doors of the TARDIS being smashed open by an 8-inch square block of polystyrene masonry sounded wrong. The church imploded, then exploded. Did not look good. One of the walls flew up towards the explosion instead of away from it. Part two was too rushed. Anyone know where the half-blind man went? He changed into the ghostly cavalier, if I seem to remember. Is that what happened? He sort of morphed, didn't he? With some little white asterisks floating around him.
Yes.
All right, I'll carry on. I think... That wasn't his feedback. That's me answering him. I think I did notice if this was a battle reenactment, it would have been over in a minute or two, as the Cavaliers were outnumbered 12 to 15 to 1. Not much of a battle. It was great to see the first showing of Amy's crack. That's what she said. Oh, of course, Turlough was unable to smash his way through a rotten wooden door. When it broke open, you could see how flimsy the door was. The extras on the DVD were okay. Good to see the horse chasing after the actors through the lich gate at the church. All in all, my wife and I enjoyed the story. Thank you, Terry Miles. All right, then. So, dulcet tones time. It's Mary with this week's closely studied critique.
Okay, Alan writes, the Valley of the Small Coal Shuttle, Valley of the Small Coal Scuttle, or the Wigs of the Fendal. Dear 20 Megabiters, The Awakening is, of course, a closely studied critique of war and conflict resolved by force. The malice clearly is a manifestation of the way war can self-reinforce its negativity if the protagonists lose sight of their normal moral proclivities. The historical events at Little Hodcombe obviously spell out the dangers of mutual damage inherent in such conflict, which goes out of control. The mixing of those events into 1984 and the effect upon the ancestors are an illustration of the pan-generational scars that may result from this sort of slaughter and enmity. It should be noted that whilst some suggest that this is a mundane and unexceptional filler story only made to fulfill the episode count, in fact, this is a pretty weird sort of setup with perhaps owed more to a show like Time Slip. In parentheses, new remake now available on Big Finish, in parentheses, then to other Doctor Who narratival phenotypes. We also learn that Professor Watson, who never found out whether Eldred did live, and Professor Feldham, who escaped to transcend his name, both retired to Little Hodcombe. And am I saying that right? Is it Hodcombe?
That'll do.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got should congratulate you, Mary. Hey, I have one of them American and actually can actually pronounce a British place name without any coaching. So that definitely deserves one of them.
Well, you got a lot of names there that kind of skip over syllables.
Yeah. It seems to bamboozle Americans oddly.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Also, Todd from Kinda's former flatmate from Liverpool ended up as a teacher in the same village. All in all, The Awakening is all right, and in some ways a bit intriguing. It's a bit difficult to decide whether it needed to be given a full story length to reach its full potential or not. This is because, whilst it seems short and odd, it is not obvious how to develop it further. Likewise, thought the guest cast is really excellent. Their performances just seem a bit weird. But is that just because the characters is a bit of a weird and affected state, or because the actors didn't have any idea what was going on? Yeah, a lot of times that's the way it looked. It is, if anything, Doctor Who-ish, a very broad remake of The Demons.
Yes.
Yes.
Probably not writer Eric Pringle's finest hour, however, and he maybe should have stuck to inventing tube-based potato crisps. Oh, I don't know what that's a reference to. Another triumph, however, for Chameleon's Pringles. Stealth mode, once again used at his best as an unreferred-to off-screen presence, but we look for a greater achievement next time. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as who would not want to see Tegan's grandfather sit down, explain a bit about the trauma in her childhood that made her act like that? Next up, Doctor Who and the Indestructible Hat Stand, or Ludwig Wittgenstein's Tractatus Logico-Philosophicus.
Wow.
Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Well done. Especially as you managed to read it word for word and read through the slight mistake that he put in there.
I'm not really sure what it is he's saying. Yeah.
Occasionally runs away with himself, and he's obviously gone back and corrected himself, and you're there all thrown. Yeah. And occasionally there's like an of and an at and a the all together, and you're like, I'm going to edit that.
She didn't edit it. She just read it as it was. Fantastic. As it should be, right then. So,
but Alan, we love you and we love your food.
Yeah, we certainly do, and especially on a day in which he should be critiquing Boris Johnson's ineptitude.
He has been.
That Alan should be critiquing Boris Johnson's ineptitude.
He has been. He's been on Facebook doing it.
So follow Alan T. Butcher for a political comment and satire, but not allowed here on the show. Anyway, right then, so...
Alan T. Butcher, please let us know.
Time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
That's
the wrong one. I played the wrong tune. This one. Oh, I've got my score up. New rules.
No,
you like this. It makes sense. It makes sense. You'll like it.
No.
Helps to play you lot against each other as well.
Doesn't work. We're too nice.
We're playing it. We're doing the new rules anyway. Once I've loaded up my scores page, which I need to correct.
I got 2 points.
It still probably says about umpteen people we did on episode 449. Wait for it to load. There we are. Oh, no, here we are. 448, sorry, not 449. Right, it's not. And then Mary had a point.
Yeah, we had a lot of people that day.
Mary had a point, Debbie had a point.
I had 2 points, thank you very much.
Keeping track, are we?
Yeah.
How many did Kirby? Kirby had a point, didn't he? After going minus two, he went down to... Amazing.
Who's minus two, me?
No, you probably were, but you managed to claw yourself back up to one. Well done.
He usually wins when he comes up from the back. That's what she said.
So, new rule is the bonus pot, you're not allowed to bag the points yourself. You can distribute them evenly over everybody else, but not to give them, to take them away.
This
is a question correct.
So however many points there are in the bonus pot, you take off of either one person or...
Well, you obviously can't take them off yourself. That'd be silly. But you can. Either you can use them as many. Say you had 6 in the bonus pot. You can take 3 off one, 3 off the other. Or you can take 4 off one, 2 another. That's how it's going to work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally get that. That's a good idea,
actually. Oh, thank you. Point for Debbie. No. I've changed my mind. You're going to be too close to winning. Sorry. We'll leave it as it is.
Just put it down to 0.
I've changed my mind. We're going to set everybody to 0.
Yeah, there you go.
Because it's too close to winning. Right then, so first question. Where's my dice gone? Oh, there it is.
Are we still going to 6 and are we still using jokers?
I'm trying to... It's too dark in here. Alexa, front room light on.
Okay.
That's better. Now
Alexa, belay that command. My Alexa went off. Thank you.
Yeah, my Alexa went off too.
I've gone all pink suddenly. Right then, first question goes to Mary.
My Alexa can't find a device called front room.
Shut up. Green one, Mary. You've got monsters.
All right.
Okay. What is the name of the monster who interrupts Adam Pearson on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast every single week? That's not really on the card. Debbie Melrose. No, this is the actual question. Sorry, Mary. Who had imprisoned the beast beneath Crop Tor, a planet revolving around a black hole? Was it the Disciples of Darkness, the Disciples of Light, the Light Energy, or the Shadow Proclamation? So that's your multiple choice answer, Mary, to that question.
Well, I'll go with A.
A is... A is...
Disciples or something.
They're all disciples of someone. Well, some of mine. No, it wasn't that one. The answer, nobody actually came up with it. Oh, no. It was Disciples of Light.
Yeah, we weren't sure.
Yeah. No, we weren't sure. It's obvious that was the case. But it was worth a punt, Mary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right then, next question goes to Debbie. It's an orange one, and Orange's cast, crew, and beyond. Sheila Hancock starred in The Happiness Patrol with the Seventh Doctor. She was married to an actor famous for his portrayal of which TV detective? Do you need the multiple choice on this one, Debbie?
Probably not, if I can remember his name.
No dear.
Well, I know who he was. He played a lot.
Not the actor, the actual character.
John Paul.
Yeah, no, it's not the answer, is it? Because it's not the actor.
Inspector
Morse. Ah, there we go. We've got there, so we can do.
What was it?
Inspector Morse. Joker.
Inspector Morse. Okay. John Paul.
Mm, right. Okay. No Joker played there. Right,
I meant to, and I forgot, okay, so I'll have to
give it to her.
No. Yellow for Kirby. Yellow is episodes and stories. It's which Third Doctor story centres around an archaeological dig at a place called
Joker.
Devil's... Pardon?
Joker.
No, it's not Joker at all. It's... Oh, the sorry. Yeah.
Okay. We were just talking about them.
Yes. Well done, Burby.
Always seems to happen, doesn't it?
And we get through that round. It was... was it 1 point in the bonus pot, I think? Who got one? Yeah, 1 point in the bonus pot. So remember, whoever gets this can take, can't use it themselves, but they can take it off one of the other players. Right, so it's pink, and that is companions. Why was Canton Everett Delaware 3 kicked out of the FBI?
I think I know.
Yeah, go on then.
Because he was gay.
Yes, so who do you want to take that point off then?
Well, Kirby.
Say that again, because he was what?
He was gay. He was married. Oh. He wanted to get married to a man, so essentially that's correct.
Then they kicked him out because it doesn't matter, does it? It's like, oh my God.
Oh, and I just dropped. It's the sort of thing that Russell T. Davis would have put in a Doctor Who story, to be fair. I've lost the card, I just dropped it. Oh, well, I'll have to find
I'd like to take the point off of Kirby.
I did take the point off Kirby, thank you very much. He's sulking
can't
now.
Take it off myself.
No. Right, so the scores are in last place with no points, Mary. In second place, sorry, first place with 1 point each, it's Debbie and Kirby. And here we go for Mary. You've got a purple one, that's what she said. Years and dates. Which organisation runs the New Earth Hospital in the year 5,000,000,023?
I know it's those cat ladies, but I don't know what they're called.
You don't know what they're called? Well, sadly, that's the sort of crux of the question. Ooh, my beard didn't work properly. You know, we're not going to get anything for it. What is it, then?
No, Sisters of Plenitude.
That is a correct answer. No points. Sorry.
I really want to cosplay as one of the cat ladies.
Do you really? There's plenty of good cosplayers of said cats, aren't they? We saw them at Island Con, actually, to be fair. Right then, Debbie.
Yes.
You got a purple one, too. Years and dates. Oh, that'll be the same question. Which year did the Doctor liberate and free the Ood by destroying the Halpern business empire? We get this one.
Is there a multiple choice?
No.
Jeez, yeah.
Beg pardon?
I don't know. 2080, I don't know.
I'm not even bothering to look at the card to see if that one's been wrong. No, it was 4,126 AD.
Yeah, I knew it would be wrong, so I thought it'd be a point.
Yeah, you should have known that. Yeah, of course.
Well, another point goes into the bonus pot.
My head, yeah.
Should have played a joker on that one, obviously.
I should have played my joker, yeah. That was my golden moment. Yeah, gold.
Burby.
Master.
All right, here we go. You've got a blue one, that's what she said. Time Lords question. Hang on. What is unusual about the Gallifreyan General's 10th regeneration at the 12th Doctor's hands in the High Council Chamber?
He regenerates into a woman.
Bing!
Correct.
Why is that unusual?
Because it was the first time it's happened. It on Doctor Who.
Right, so next question is the bonus pot question. There's 2 points to be deducted off other players in this one. Okay. And it is a orange one. Orange is Cast Crew and Beyond. Kate O'Mara played the Rani twice. But in which big budget American drama of the 1980s did she play another?
I know.
Yes, Kirby?
I believe it's Dynasty.
So who are you taking these points off then? There's two of them.
Debbie, of course.
Yeah. There we go. Debbie, of course. Which changes the outlook of the scores in last place.
This is fun.
In last place. With and a way of breaking friendships as well. This is quite amusing. In last place with -1 is Debbie. In second place with 0, it's Mary. In the lead with 2 points, it's Kirby. How quickly things change.
It'd be funny if they took so many points off of each other.
Yeah, that you win. Yeah. No, there's still two jokers intact. Ooh, right.
Yeah, I'm the only person who's used a joker.
Purple for Mary. Well, I can't have that one. We've had that one. Yeah, we can't have that one. We've had that one.
Mary always seems to get purple.
In which century do the Saturnians try to turn Venice into a new home planet? Well, again, it's going to be a bit of a punt, this one. So, in which century do the Saturnians try to turn Venice into a new home planet?
I'll say the 19th century.
It was the 16th century, apparently.
I was going for
17th,
oh dear.
Right. Debbie.
Yes.
Pink. Which is companions. Right then. What was Dorothea Chaplet's companion of the first Doctor, more commonly known as?
I know.
Joker Ace.
Oh dear. That's going to be.
Oh no, Jesus!
Yeah.
Sorry, I read the book again last night. I'm sorry.
How did you do that?
I'm reading the book again. Sorry, because I haven't fed back to Adam at all about it, so I reread it last
night. Thank you. Now you can do the synopsis, but that was funny. Right then, Kirby.
That was hysterical. How did I just do that? Oh, my God.
Right, Kirby. Orange. In Doctor Who, the Master was portrayed by the brother of which Hollywood leading actor? You don't need the multiple choice in this one, do you, Kirby? Hello? Anybody there?
I know. I'm trying to remember his
Do you want me to do the multiple choice? It's the brother
I know
of.
This one. Why couldn't I have got this one where I wouldn't messed it up?
The brother of.
I've met him and my brain is blank. Yeah,
but you don't want to know him, sister. Do you? I'm not going to give you any more clues. Right, though, I'll read the question again.
It's the name of his sister.
Stop. Know, right, point know, deducted for Debbie for trying to coach Kirby.
But that's what the. That's what the question is supposed to be.
For Debbie, and while he's floundering around.
I'm not coaching Kirby.
Yes,
like
you were.
Well, saying sister is a coach.
Yeah, that's coaching.
Since sibling, so it could have been a guy.
What?
That's right. I finally remembered.
Yeah?
Julia Roberts.
I finally looked it up on Wikipedia. Julia Roberts.
I do not have Wikipedia up. I had to remember his name, Eric Roberts, okay. And then I made the connection.
Okay, right. I'll give you that one, okay? Feeling generous today. 3 points.
-4?
You're on -2. 3 points in the bonus pot for a yellow question, something different at last.
Oh, dear.
Yes, yellow is episodes and stories. In the 10th Doctor story 42, what is the name of the spaceship that is mining the sun for its fuel? Now, there is a multiple choice on this. It's going to be awkward doing this one on a multiple choice. Does anybody know without the multiple choice?
No.
No.
I know.
Go on then, Debbie.
I'm going to take a guess. It's something along the lines of the SS Pentallion.
Right, it's 3 points to deduct from.
Kirk.
Hello, anybody there?
Yes. She said she was taking them from me. So
I didn't hear that.
You realize what this means? This means that every single round
is
going to take longer and longer, and we're going to have to go through more and more questions.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
No one's going to get to six.
Oh, they will do if they answer the questions correctly. Right, so that's right. So they're currently lead, in the lead with no points each. It's Mary and Kirby, and in last place, Debbie with minus two. This is fantastic. This is what podcasting is all about. Right then. Mary, you've got a blue one.
That's what she said.
And you still got a joker as well. What races evolve into the Master's allies, the Toclafane? Yeah. So what race evolves into the Master's allies, the Toclafane, trillions of years into the future? So what race evolves into... Yeah, I think I've asked that about six times. Mary, what race is it?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I nearly pressed the bell. That would have been awful. So, therefore...
I know, too.
Go on, then. Kirby says, oh, no. So, what is human. It, then, Kirby?
They're human.
Correct, they are, but you don't get any points for it. Right, then. Debbie, you've got an orange one.
That's what she said.
Right, then. So, your question is this. What TV comedy from the late... 90s and early 2000s links Doctor Who episodes Long Game and Human Nature.
Hmm?
What?
That's the first part of the question, yes. Oh dear, what? TV... Pardon?
What?
TV... just the first part of the question. What TV comedy links the 1980s stroke 2000s... Oh, for Christ, I'll say that again. What TV comedy from the late 1990s and early 2000s links Doctor Who episodes The Long Game and Human Nature?
TV programme links it?
Long Game, Human Nature.
Oh, I don't know.
No
idea.
Oh, that's it. I didn't last long, did it? The answer was Spaced.
Oh, because of Jessica, yes.
Mm. And Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Right, okay, next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
And
we'll never finish, you know.
Oh, stop being, what's the word for it? Pessimistic. Kirby, which famous classic author did the Doctor is the Doctor with when he encounters the Gelf in the 19th century Cardiff?
Dickens.
It was indeed Ickens. Oh, you mean you said Dickens. Sorry. Right. And the bonus pot for 2 points is green.
We're just going to go negative and negative. We'll that
seemed like a good
six.
Idea at the time.
First person rules. To win is six.
The rules do not work.
Is there a time limit?
They would do if you answered the questions correctly.
Like a time limit for questions. And whoever's at the
end. You ought to have a time limit.
That they would do.
Our listeners now, are going to get
they will be quiet. There will be a time limit at some point when I decide. But that's a good idea. I think it'll work with a time limit. We'll have to use a certain
master
friend of the show to do the clock. Yes.
Master. Yes. What you should do is have a way that we can push forward as well as going back.
Oh, I see.
Like maybe every other you bonus give, pot.
You give rather than take away.
That's what she said.
because otherwise, yeah, it's just going to, we'll never reach six. Seriously.
Well, except of whatever time limit.
If we can't carry on with this one, we'll definitely never reach six. Where did we get up to? Bonus pot question. Green, right. In what part of the United Kingdom does the Doctor encounter the Fisher King in an unwater base called the Drum? So, yes, I think we'll go along with your plan of 1 minute we add, 1 minute we next. So this is an add points.
What we could do...
Is you nominate a player, the points go to or from, I'll flip a coin, and what it lands on is a minus or a plus. Isn't that clever? So we could have
heads.
Heads is a plus, tails is a minus. There we have the coin that's got a tails, and it's got a heads. There it is. Right. So what we'll do that then. So I won't tell you what it is, or heads or tails. And does anybody know the answer first? That'd be quite useful, wouldn't it? Making it up as I go along is fantastic.
No idea.
No idea.
The answer, therefore, was Scotland. So that stays as 2 points to be distributed in the bonus pot. Moving on. Mary.
Yes.
No, you got pink. What is the name of the secret communication network that Harriet Jones uses to contact the 10th Doctor when Davros moves to the Earth?
Oh. I know that one.
You do?
For a change, but I can't remember it.
Oh, you don't know
it. It's like me and Eric Roberts.
Yeah, I'll have to pass on it because I can't remember.
Sub. Why is it playing that? Wrong one. This is the one. Yeah. Subwave network, Mary.
Yes.
Three points in the bonus pot. Right, Mary, where's my dice gone? Oh, sorry, Debbie. And it's blue for Debbie. Right then, Debbie, what was the name of the academy that rogue Time Lord Barusa taught the Doctor at?
Oh my God.
No, it wasn't that.
We only saw this a little while ago.
Did we?
Well, I think I must have, but everybody else doesn't seem to remember. I really don't know.
Oh, well, it was, and Kirby's very quiet. It was the Pride and Academy, but we'll have to play this a bit first. And add another point into the bonus pot. Ah, yeah, or is it a bonus? I don't know. Right, Kirby. Orange. Simon Callow has appeared in Doctor Who twice alongside the 9th Doctor and 11th Doctors, but who did he play on both occasions?
Didn't I just have this question in a different form?
Yes.
Dickens!
That's just luck at the end of the day, isn't it? So 2 points to Kirby. Right then, so 4 points in the bonus spot to either distribute. Oh, God, I just dropped. Either distribute. Or take away.
But you won't tell us which way yet.
No. Well, that's half the fun of it. I won't say half the fun of it. It's probably about a quarter of the fun of it, to be fair. Right then, pink question. Right then, this is, what is the name of Captain Avery's pirate ship? Oh, for goodness sake. You're all very quiet.
Count that is, we don't know.
You don't know, so therefore the 4 points stay in the bonus pot. The answer was the Fancy. Fancy that.
Oh,
yeah. Fancy that. Fancy.
Right, Mary. Oh, God, just a dot. You got orange. You got orange, Mary, which is. Zoe Wanamaker played Lady Cassandra in 2 episodes of Doctor Who, but who did she play in the Harry Potter films? I'll say film.
I know. Oh.
Darn. I don't remember the name of the character.
I don't remember the name of the character.
Okay. It's Madame Hooch. Another point in the bonus pot. The bonus pot is becoming very interesting now.
Let her, even though she didn't
let me answer. I'd do that one.
No, I want to answer it because I've got the card. Right, the next question is for Mary. Oh, was that Mary? No, hang on. That was Mary's question. I beg your pardon. Right, Debbie, you've got a green one.
Have I?
Yeah. What was the Rachnos ship in the Secret Heart Hidden? Oh, sorry, can I start that one again? Where was the Rachnos ship in the Secret Heart Hidden? Now, it's a multiple choice, or do you need the multiple choice?
Is this the one where it's in the centre of the Earth?
I'll give you that one. It says the Earth's core on the card, but I'll give you that one.
That's the centre of the Earth.
That brings you to minus one.
Yay!
Kirby.
Master.
Pink for you. Captain Jack Harkness assumed the identity of a 1940s Air Force volunteer, but which century is he originally from? It's all gone quiet again.
Yeah, 51st.
Oh my God!
Yay! Kirby!
Everybody in that era was from the 51st.
Were they?
Yes.
Right, there's 5 points in the pot. Orange. Done that one. Michael Sheard played a villainous headmaster in The Remembrance of the Daleks. But what was the name of the TV school where he portrayed the strict...
I know.
You know,
oh,
dear.
Damn.
Kirby?
Coal Hill School.
Well, the funny thing is, Kirby, Mr. I Know Everything was... Wrong.
It's Grange Hill.
Grange Hill. We play Mr. Bronson in Grange Hill.
Oh.
So the 5 points remain in the bonus
box. We could have been finished now.
Yeah, I've never seen that. I didn't know he was in that thing. I thought you were just counting that he was...
No, right. There's right then, Mary. you've got a purple one again. Isn't that funny? In which year did Mary... In which year did the Doctor liberate and free the Ood by destroying the Halpern business empire? Of course,
I had that question.
I heard that one.
Forget that one then.
Are you shuffling the cards?
No, I'm just picking out questions. I've got that one wrong. All right. Well then, Mary. In which year did man travel to the moon influenced by the silence?
I don't know.
What?
What?
You're American, you don't know what... Oh, that's awful, Mary. Oh, that's going to have to be
You're talking about real life.
Are we going to resend that? Have another go.
1963.
Oh!
What was it?
What year was it?
Yeah.
1969, come on.
69.
69, dude.
I think Kennedy said, let's go to the moon in 63, and it actually happened in 69.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Okay, right then.
I'm just thinking about the man in space. I'm not thinking about actually went to the moon. Okay.
Never mind. It doesn't matter. You know, it's only a Doctor Who quiz.
Matthew's listening to this, and he's screaming.
Yes. How many people? But there are bonus, though. There are 6 points in the bonus pot, and we're almost at the stage that whoever these points are awarded to will win the quiz. So this could be interesting. Debbie.
Unless it's to take them away.
Ha ha. Hee hee. Hoo hoo. Right then. You've got a yellow one, Debbie. In the Sontaran stratagem, what is the name of the catalytic converter system that Luke Rattigan has developed?
Atmos.
Brings her to zero.
Yay.
Oh, lost.
Oh, this is going to get interesting. Right then, I wish I'd started that idea at the beginning that I came up with about the plus and minuses. All right, Kirby, got a question, which is a yellow one.
Yes.
Let's go back to your favourite story again. Right, in The Curse of the Black Spot, what is the name of Captain Avery's son?
Oh my god, not again.
His son is Will?
No.
I don't know.
It was Toby. So now there's 7 points in the bonus pot. It's definitely going to tilt the game somewhere, isn't it? So somebody, when they say, this could be a friend maker or a friend denier.
This there's no relationship either way about friendships.
Does it not?
It means everything.
It means everything. Right. What we're going to do, I can't really do a thing and say, right, you're going to have to give the points to someone else. Because whoever's going to get this is going to win the game anyway, I've just decided. And I've just dropped the bloody dice.
You've decided.
Oh, no, it's all right. It's a yellow question.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, I flip the coin then and see what it comes up with. Oh, look, it's heads. So it would have been anyway. Right then. Right. Are you ready? This is the big one.
Okay.
What English phrase does the Welsh blad dog in the Norwegian Derling Ulv translate as?
I know.
Do you, Kirby? Well, there's a
bad
surprise.
Wolf.
Oh, do I have to look at the card? Oh,
that was easy.
We'll need to look at the card.
It's the correct answer.
Yay, Kirby!
Really?
Yay, Kirby!
So, no one's my friend anymore.
Well, that meant that you won the 10-0 in the end there, Kirby.
Yeah.
I think there was a certain amount of luck in it.
Nobody's my friend anymore.
At least I dragged it back to zero.
I like that idea, though. I just need to hone it a little bit.
My idea.
Oh! What's going on there?
That went
up,
by the sounds of it.
It just decided it went funny. Anyway, that's the closing thing. I'm not going to replay it. Anyway, yes, well done, everybody. And big congratulations to myself for coming up with the idea. Bonnie Himmel. I'll have to say Bonnie. says match game. Yes, it's managed to, even though I tried to manipulate the quiz for Turk Kirby not to win it, he always tends to win it anyway. And do you remember the old days when we used to have...
How long has it been since I... Okay, I won
last week.
But before that, it was beginning of April.
Okay. Yeah, but we remember the old phrase, smarty pants, Debbie? What happened to that then?
I only get that once in a blue moon now. Come on.
Yeah, the last time Debbie won was April 21st.
Oh, really rubbed the salt in the wound. That's only because she's been on the show only three times since then.
Yeah, I've not been on very often for the past month or two. I got to try and win it back here.
Yes. Doctor Who news. 13th Doctor on Turkish television.
Ooh.
BBC Studios have announced the launch of their high-definition BBC Prime in Turkey via Turk Telecom's Tiviboo. I want to think of Turkish. I've got a very boring kebab story to come up. That just reminded me. A platform on the 27th of May. Doctor Who featuring prominently in the new service. Well, that's good, really, isn't it? Eric Roberts returns as the master for Big Finish. It's topical, isn't it? It looks exactly the same, but he's just got white hair.
It's grey now, isn't he? Yeah.
Well, grey then, yeah. But yeah, it looks exactly the same as he did in Doctor Who. Who's the woman next to him? I don't know where that is in the picture.
His wife.
Mife? Who's Mife?
His wife. the wife in the TV movie.
His wife then?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Doctor Who, The Monster's Vault. BBC Books have announced a new hardback book that delves into the background of one of the key elements of Doctor Who. I've decided not to tell the kebab story because I've realised it will reveal my address. The Unsung Heroes of Doctor Who, Phantom Events have announced a brand new lockdown project celebrating the unsung heroes of Doctor Who. Hosted by Alex Moore, this series of YouTube videos aims to tell the behind-the-scenes story of those members of the cast and crew whose perspective might normally go untold. That has already been on the 20th of May, so if anyone wants to look for it on YouTube, it might be worth a delve, where the free content available at the moment is really good if you're starting to struggle with trying to find stuff to entertain yourself during the lockdown. Yeah, that's about it for Doctor Who news. Sponsors. Lavazzi have been bumping in some offers. I did allude to this last week because anybody watched the live feed should have been able to take advantage of the 15% off thing that they had on all their Doctor Who merchandise. And by the time the show went out, anybody who listened to it straight away would have also been able to take advantage of that. Because it went out and it stopped at midnight on Tuesday, so... Oops, sorry, hiccup. So, yes, Doctor Who merchandise includes such things as the traditional Fourth Doctor scarves. There's a short version as well for people who are quite short. But I can't imagine somebody who's, 4'7", wearing, an 18-foot scarf. I think it could get a bit cumbersome.
Why not?
It would be just gathered round your neck so much you wouldn't be able to see over it. So they've got a shorter version. Of course, you've still got the shoulder bag with...
Wrap it around a whole lot of times.
And in front of your face is protection.
18th Series 18th Burgundy scarf, the Christmas jumpers. You've got the question mark pullover of the 7th Doctor.
I hear thunder outside.
And where we're obviously currently covering the 5th Doctor, you can also get the cricket jumper on sale at £29.99. There we go.
I need to get one of those one of these days.
Might be a good idea. I'd like them to bring out the version that the Fifth Doctor's currently wearing in the stories we're watching now and will be wearing right the way through to the Sixth Doctor. Anyway, right. So, who won?
Dakota, UK?
I've got a funny feeling the stuff's going to be very similar to what it was last week. Faceless One's DVD, which I must get. Maybe I should buy it from Who Won. Monster of Peladon audiobook and the Torchwood complete box set. That's quite a good value at £39.99, to be fair. That's DVD as well. As well as the Sarah Jane Adventures complete box set. Again, one of the best ever sidekick series. Well, they don't call it sidekick, they call it spin-offs, don't they? Spin-off series, I think, of any particular genre.
It would probably still be on if she hadn't gone and died on us.
Yeah. It probably would. Of course, Doctor Who magazine back issues also and current are also available, and a book that Debbie is eventually going to talk about with Sophie Aldred on the show, At Childhood Ends by Sophie Aldred, is available at whoone.co.uk.
Wait till its first anniversary to discuss it.
Yeah. Well, we've got an excuse as to why we didn't speak to her in February. Because everybody was in lockdown, but it's probably the best time to do it because she would have been in lockdown as well.
There you go. She's been recording in lockdown as well as Peter Davison. Have you seen the pictures on Facebook of Peter Davison recording for? I think it's for
Big Ben. In his little cupboard with the round walls
in it. He's in the zero room.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't think of it that way, but yes, indeed. Right, then what else we've got coming up? Nothing coming through on the feed, which is okay. Next week we've got Frontius.
Which I've never seen.
Depending on how you want to pronounce it. It also features a chap that... do you mind? I'd like to get to FantasyCon, if indeed we ever have another one. Obviously, again, it's all down to lockdown and social distancing and money.
We'll get there. You'll see. By Halloween, we'll be ready to go.
He's a chap who played the father of... It was in the fourth Harry Potter film. He played the father of... the nipper that died. Voldemort killed him.
Diggory, he played
Cedric Diggory's father in that particular movie. He's in Frontius, playing a slightly wimpy character. And this is also the episode I've been referring to, or the story I've been referring to, in which Turlough dribbles quite profusely.
This sounds interesting.
What, Turlough dribbling? It goes from twitching to dribbling.
This is weird. I've never seen this one. Okay. Is this the one with the pill bugs?
The what?
The pill bugs.
Pill bugs?
Pill bugs.
Pill bugs. I thought he said pill box.
Roly polies, you know, little insects.
Oh, maybe. The bugs. Woodlice.
Woodlice, okay.
Is it?
Wait, I thought woodlice were in... The one where everyone was whispering in the old house.
Woodlice are more like cyber mats, really.
Okay, right then. Okay. I'll throw into the future, obviously, because this is Frontier. So the week after Frontier, I believe, is the Resurrection of the Daleks.
Woohoo!
And Kyle has the video for that. I think the plan is that he will be on the show for that one. I'm trying to get him to watch Planet of Fire and then Caves of Androzani. It's all the big build up to Caves of Androzani. Then he doesn't have to watch anything more, because obviously imagine watching those three episodes or stories and then watching The Twin Dilemma, which I quite like, but I know virtually everybody hates, but there we go. So that's the plan for next week. We're going to be watching Frontiers, 4-part story, as is the norm now for Doctor Who, until we get to the two Doctors, which is essentially a 6-parter condensed into 3. I'm rambling. So, let's make sure nobody else is coming on. Oh, no, nobody else. That's good. Right, so again, we'll have a slight tweak of the rules on the quiz next week. It looked like it was going to work until everybody started getting the questions wrong. So,
it's our fault entirely, yeah, obviously.
Deep into negative territory.
So until next week, thank you for watching, taking part and contributing to the show. Please continue to do so, especially the feedback, because it's good fun. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye. Yeah, croak.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.